wobble, baby, wobble.
Yeah.
Talk Radio for Sports Club. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. I'll be flying solo tonight for a little while up until, I believe, about the last quarter of the show, where we will be joined by our resident Impact Media fantasy football guru, Joseph Fardy. He's going to drop by. We're going to talk about some sleepers, some of the bigger strategies to use, maybe some of the top players at certain positions. You know, we're gonna really dive in here and try to get you guys set up, because a lot of fantasy drafts are coming up, and I think I actually have a couple coming up next weekend, I believe. But it is fantasy season. I've heard a lot of other fantasy people on other shows. Everybody seems to get excited about it. Fantasy is fun. So we're going to do our best to get you ready to do everything. Tons of other stuff we want to get into. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big fight that is this weekend, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. We're going to talk some NFL notes, including Anquan Boldin retiring, what's going on with Blake Bortles. Dive into some baseball. We'll talk about Ian Kinsler versus the umpire squad. Also talk a little bit about today's fight between the Tigers and Yankees, which just went down not long ago. That was pretty crazy, actually. We were able to catch part of that. And especially when I tell you which member of the Tigers was involved, if you don't know already, trust me, you want to tune in, or you want to stay tuned in as we talk about that. But, as I said, welcome into Sports Club. I do want to remind you guys, have been doing great with this, and we definitely appreciate it. Maybe we'll figure out a contest here soon that involves all the people who participate in this. If you want to go to the iTunes store, you want to look us up, Sports Club, you want to look up Impact Media, whichever way, give us a review of the show, tell us what you like, what you don't like, post a random cat picture. Doesn't really matter. Just give us a rating and a review. We definitely appreciate it. And like I said, as those start to count up, we'll figure out some sort of contest. We'll send you some swag. We'll give you a cool opportunity. Maybe some tickets or something. I don't know yet. We'll figure out exactly what we're going to do. But we definitely appreciate everybody who's done stuff so far. And we're going to move right into it. Now, obviously, by now, we all know, because this dropped right after our last show. Thanks, NFL, for the Friday news dump. But we all knew this was coming. The NFL, and it wasn't Goodell this time. Can't blame him. Roger Goodell had nothing to do with this. So, the NFL in general handed down a 6-game suspension to one Ezekiel Emmanuel Elliott. I don't know if Emmanuel's his middle name, but I figured the 3 E's sounded pretty good. But Zeke Elliott suspended 6 games for the personal conduct violation. Should be an S on the end of that, violations, because whether they say it or not, I'm imagining that they factored in not only the stuff with the ex-girlfriend, they're not only talking about some of the other incidents, but they were also talking about the, what was it, St. Patrick's Day, where he pulled the woman's top down. Seems to be a string of incidents here. It seems to start to be a pattern. Now, is Ezekiel Elliott a bad guy? No, not from everything I've gathered. He's actually a pretty good guy. But to be a National Football League player, especially nowadays, this is not the 80s and 90s, and I'll get into that in a minute. You kind of have to watch some of the stuff you're doing, which would include your conduct off the field. But as much as Zeke needs to worry about himself and his own things, which is fine, we got to put part of this, and it's not really blame, we got to put part of this on the owner, Jerry Jones. Now, I'm a Cowboys fan. You guys know that. But I'm also real about things. And I'm even real about this. I was reminded of a song the Talking Heads do that song was actually, I didn't hear it till I was in high school, and thanks to a instructor I had, pretty much drilled it in our heads. But it's a good song. It's by the Talking Heads. It's called, I think it's, I can't even remember the name of it now, but Same As It Ever Was is the basic line in it. It's, you know, Same As It Ever Was applies to the Dallas Cowboys. And here's where I'm going with this. It applies to the Dallas Cowboys in that. Now, I've argued, you know, no matter how Auburn got Cam Newton, they got a title out of it. All the things that Urban Meyer puts up with, I mean, without even saying Aaron Hernandez, he's had some kind of questionable character guys, Florida, Utah, and now obviously Ohio State, where Zeke came from. But I've always argued that you need a few edgy guys. You need a few of these edgy guys in order to sometimes I call them game breakers. And I'm not saying that if you're not one of these edgy guys that, you know, just Tim Tebow. I've made up a whole new person. Tim Tebow could be considered a game breaker. A guy that when you need something positive to happen, almost like the impossible in a game, you know, you just need to make this score. You just need to make this stop. You just need 2 points to beat the Bulls. You need one thing, you know, these game breakers, the guys that can not necessarily take over a game, but, you know, sometimes I would say Adam Vinatieri could be a great example of this. Sometimes you just need that field goal. Vinatieri is pretty much money on that. These game breakers, and sometimes they're questionable people. Like I say, Cam Newton is a good one. You know, over the years, various ones. We're going to get into Michael Irvin. We're going to get into some of the other ones from out of the league. But, you know, these guys tend to put you over the edge a little bit, and in a good way. They give you that extra bump. Here locally, we all like Mark Richt. I think he's a fantastic guy. I've known people that have worked for him. I know players who have played for him. People who have met him or just been around him. Mark Richt, fantastic guy, raises fantastic character. Young athletes, these student athletes, who, you know, usually don't hear of a lot of University of Georgia players doing things really extravagant. You occasionally get a DUI or one of them will test for a marijuana or something like that. And what happens? They get excused from the program. It's just the way he runs it. But also, that's why he is a very good coach, or, you know, oriented-wise as far as the record. But he never seems to get over that hump to be considered really good to great, like great. He's really good to get over into great. He needs that extra little something to get right over the fence, you know, and potentially go for a national title. He's been kind of close a few times, but there's nothing personal to him. He's going to do fantastic things in Miami, and down there you kind of get you can kick game breakers without meaning to. That happens. But Same As It Ever Was applies to the Dallas Cowboys, because Jerry Jones knows, so do a handful of other owners. It's not just Jerry Jones, but Jerry Jones knows sometimes you need that guy with the extra edge, maybe the slightly weird character trait or something like that, because he's going to push for that extra yard. He's going to push for that extra opportunity. Now, he may miss a couple games for getting suspended or you know, things like that. Sometimes pushing too much, you get injured, those kinds of things, but let's just think about America's team here. I'm just going to go through the quick list. There's not – definitely don't have them all. You know, you got Dez Bryant. He was arrested after he was arrested after his mother accused him of hitting her, and he was sentenced to anger management counseling. It's since helped. He hasn't been quite as much, but, you know, a little questionable on the character there, you know. Shouldn't necessarily be hitting women in general, and you definitely shouldn't be hitting your mother. There's other ways around that, but I'm not here to judge that. Josh Brent, remember, he got drunk, crashed his car, and actually killed one of his teammates. Jay Ratliff, he got a DUI. Joseph Randall, my goodness, he's the one who stole the, he was accused of shoplifting underwear and cologne. Apparently he got to look good and smell good. He also got popped for marijuana possession after a domestic disturbance. Those who actually got dropped, but still. Once again, you start to see the pattern here. I'm going to try to name some of the bigger guys. Nolan Carroll. He was actually just arrested for DUI in May of this year. David Irving. One of the good young defensive stars here. Violated the substance abuse policy. Greg Hardy. Rolando McClain. Randy Gregory. These are just the ones recently. I mean, if we want to, we could go. I mean, like I said, one of the biggest examples. I think I don't want to accuse people who aren't on this list necessarily, so I'm not gonna just throw out names there. But Michael Irvin, as Shay from Irving once said on this show, Michael Irvin had the cojones to show up to his court date. I think it was for possession of a controlled substance in a mink coat. You know, Kevin Ogletree, Terry Glenn, a lot of, you know, for a while there, it seemed like the running joke was, you want to play for the Cowboys, got to serve a little bit of time. Now that's not true, obviously, but Jerry Jones knows in order to win, you need these guys that are going to put you over that hump. Put you over that hump, you know. But, so when I see Zeke getting suspended 6 games for conduct, or one of these other guys getting a DUI and these sorts of things, I simply think of the song, same as it ever was. In the Jerry Jones tenure, it's always been that way. But then again, that's why he's been successful. That's why they won so much during the 90s. He's putting those kinds of teams together again. The thing I've always said, and this applies to Tebow, and it applies to Kaepernick, and it applies to Michael Vick, and it applies to else. Think of it. And on this scale, a circus that you attract, whether good or bad, we can argue, or we can argue that Tim Tebow's circus is very positive. And then on the other side, your talent. If the circus outweighs the talent, you're probably going to get a job in the NFL. It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. Now, if your talent happens to supersede your circus, which is why, as me and Cody have said before, and I'll say it again, I think Colin Kaepernick will have a job probably this year, because his circus is dying down. We're talking less and less about Colin Kaepernick because of the other things going on. I mean, do we not remember before, I believe, let's see, it was, you remember the top story last summer? I believe it was last summer. The top story, could have been the summer before, but either way, the top story in the offseason was Washington Redskins owner Daniel Snyder will not change the name no matter what was said. Would not change the name of his franchise. That was the top story. Now that's not even, and that's so far beyond the rug, it may be out the other side. It just goes through a cycle. Once again, once the circus dies down, and circus is an okay word for it, but once the media attention, I guess, the overall media attention dies down, then we can go on with playing. If you can excuse what somebody did, Michael Vick served his time, came out, talked to people like Tony Dungy. Dungy was able to answer a lot of other questions for people around the league, and, you know, he gets an opportunity under Andy Reid. There's other guys that have had questionable pasts. But at one point, it was a Josh Brent that I just said. At one point, he was back on the sideline and this came under a lot of scrutiny, but he was back on the sideline during a game for the Cowboys before he was ultimately released. I'm not saying this is a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying, with the Cowboys, it's same as it ever was. They're always going to have these questionable guys, at least while Jerry Jones is in charge. Stephen Jones may be the same way. It's just the way they do business. If as an owner, you can put up with the circus or the media attention that one of your stars brings, then you're going to sign these guys. I mean, remember I said Randy Gregory, who's not on the team, Greg Hardy. I mean, Greg Hardy's now MMA fighting, I believe, but you can't tell me that, you know, you give it another year or so. If Greg Hardy applied to be back in the league and was granted it by Goodell or whoever, that he wouldn't be back on a team somewhere. Greg Hardy is a phenomenal pass rusher. What he did, terrible. But at some point, you know, like Ray Rice. Ray Rice, the window may soon be so closed that he can't get back in. It's almost nailed shut. But it's also, it was long enough ago to where there's a chance Ray Rice could maybe find a seam back in. Maybe a little too old now. But that's the way this thing works. So, same as it ever was, Dallas Cowboys, they still are the Cowboys. I still root for them. My mom still roots for them. Everybody that's in Cowboy Nation still roots for them. Just, you know, it's just a thing we accept. We may not agree with what these guys did, but our owner employs them. So, you know, it's up to us whether we want to cheer them or not on Sundays.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
All right, some of the fun things we are going to – let's see, what can we get into now? Yeah, let's talk about a few of the NFL news and notes. Now, let's start with Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin decided to I really wanted Cody's take on this, but I guess I'll get it another time. Anquan Boldin decided to call it a career. I don't think, you know, if he would have played this year, he probably would have been in like top three, top five in a lot of categories. Those kind of things matter to him, but not as much as most people would think. Anquan Boldin is absolute just bomber, and I mean that in the best way. He might be the best possession receiver we've seen, him and Steve Smith maybe. I might put him above Steve Smith. You got to think of the Hines Wards of the world. Duckers. Edelman's becoming that way, but the third down guys, or the fourth and seven, even sometimes the second and 14, you need the big reception, you find the Anquan Boldins of the world. You find the Hines Wards of the world. Those guys are going to be open. They're going to fight for every ball. They're going to be able to make it. You know, I think it was back in the spring when it was first announced this year's Hall of Fame class. Kurt Warner was on maybe the Rich Eisen show, and the guy that Rich said, who's the guy that you played with that you would absolutely bang the table for and say, this guy is a Hall of Famer? And Anquan Boldin's the first words out of his mouth. He said he not only helped, you know, Kurt in developing and trying to help the Cardinals with their run, but Anquan Boldin is just such a – he's so good at the social work and the other things off the field. Great teammate on and off the field. It's actually why Anquan Boldin decided to call it a career. Now, when I initially heard it, I was thinking, are the Bills that bad that Anquan Boldin played there for 2 weeks and decided he didn't want to play there anymore? It was better to not play than play for the Bills, but that could be a whole different thing.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, maybe so. But Anquan Boldin decided to call it a career because he's wanting to work more on his social work. There's a word for it that I think of the word right now, but he's not a big activist or not like that, but more of his helping other people, his community work. And I don't have a problem with that. And to even read his numbers out too. You know Anquan Boldin was good. Whether he played in Detroit, whether he played in Baltimore. I believe, didn't he play with the Niners for a while? Also played with the Cardinals. I mean, he's played all over. What always baffled me is that for his last 3 or 4 years, he bounced around to different teams. I never understood it because he puts up the same consistent numbers each and every season. But more power to Anquan Boldin for retiring. I don't think the Bills are that bad that he would rather sit at home than not get a check from them. It's just a funny little quip I like to throw at Bills fans. But, you know, once again, shout out and kudos to Anquan Boldin. You're a heck of a player. We're going to miss seeing you out there, but I look forward to the things you're going to do off the field. I think they're going to be fantastic. Now, let's move on to something that will get some of you fired up because, you know, at one point here at Impact Media, we did cover the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pretty much for the first handful of years that Blake Bortles was the quarterback. And all I can say is, wow, of all the things in franchise history, if you could do it over again, I feel like you would still rather have Blaine Gabbert over Blake Bortles. Neither one of them are really beating the lights off anybody. Blake Bortles just continues to get worse and worse. And I know a lot of people go, well, a couple years ago he had like 37 touchdowns. Yeah, and he also had like 17 or 18 interceptions. Most, if not all, of his good stats come after the team is long out of the game. When they're down 20 points late in the third, they just let him throw the ball all over. And law of averages says most of them are going to drop in the hands, especially of great receivers like Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas. I mean, law of averages that if you have a great receiver and you throw it anywhere in his vicinity, he's going to get it most of the time. So Blake being able to just fling it around, that means a good quarterback. I'm not sure he's halfway good. Now the Jaguars are figuring this out. You have a new coach. You have the new, it's not GM, the overall football operations guy, you know, returning home. Basically, you got new management besides Jim Caldwell, who's the GM. All right, Jim Caldwell. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't draft Blake Bortles. But they've got to do something because their second best option is Chad Henne. I personally like Chad Henne. It was really nice the few times I've met him. He did go to University of Michigan. Go Big Blue. But Chad Henne being your best option is not the best thing in the world. Now, they also have is it Stephen Morris? I'm not even sure who the third string guy is. As a guy they drafted last year in the sixth round or something like that. I mean, he's around if you want to give him a shot. But if you're thinking your third string guy is the quarterback you want to go with, you have bigger issues. Let's talk about some options. I've talked about a few on some pages, mainly because I was going to wait and do them on this show, but a lot of other media guys started to say the same things I was, so I wanted to make sure that everybody knew I'm not just copying them. All right, let's talk about it. Is Blake Bortles an option? Yeah, you owe him like 3.2 this year. If you don't cut him before next year, I believe you owe him $19 million. Yeah. Let's try to avoid that one. All right, Jacksonville. Two, you got Chad Henne. Somebody's got to play quarterback. Chad Henne at least is a little more careful. Won't throw as many interceptions. He also won't throw as many touchdowns. You got to lean heavily on Leonard Fournette at that point. Third string guy. Can we actually look up who the third string guy is? And we'll come back to him. Now we get into the obvious and usual suspects. Colin Kaepernick. Could a team like Jacksonville take on his circus in trade for the talent? Absolutely. Colin Kaepernick's better than possibly all three of your quarterbacks combined. All three. So, you know, that's one of your It's one of your better options. Here we go. Oh, Brandon Allen. Sorry. I'm not sure if Stephen Morris is. He's on some other team. Brandon Allen. Give him a shot. See what he can do in practice. Between him and Henny, that would be who I would go with as far as for now. But, Colin Kaepernick. I think he would fit. You want to run the ball and you want to be a little more unpredictable. You want somebody who has the talent to get the ball in your receiving corps' hands. Colin Kaepernick, not the world's best passer, but he's got a strong arm and he's pretty accurate. I know that sounds like complete opposite, but no, he'd be a good option. Other options. Obviously, there's people want to know if the Bengals will get rid of A.J. McCarron. The last time we saw A.J. McCarron successfully play was last year, I believe, in the playoffs. No, they didn't make the playoffs last year, so 2 years ago in the playoffs, right? Maybe it was last year in the playoffs. Either way, Andy Dalton gets hurt. A.J. McCarron comes in, actually looks really good. But apparently they're not getting rid of him for less than like two number one picks. Yeah, good luck. Not worth that. Although, yeah, I can make that argument. All right, let's go through some other people that you could trade for. There's the Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not happening. I think Bill Belichick will take your entire roster and next year's top half of your draft. A guy that some aren't really mentioning, and that's part of why I want to mention him now, are these next two guys. Your best option, if you're going to trade for somebody right now, you call up Andy Reid over there at Arrowhead Stadium, and you say, "Hey, Andy." He says, "Yeah, man. What do you want for Alex Smith?" Alex Smith, look him up. Not only can he throw the deep ball down the field, which is probably one of his best throws, just like Brady, but they just don't throw it. Their offenses that they're in, their systems are all about these short checkdowns, these crossing routes, the matchup nightmares, these kinds of things. But Alex Smith, think about it. Alex Smith buys you at least 2 to 3 years, if not more. I think he's 34, 35. He could play for at least another 3 years. Buys you that much time to figure out what you want to do at that point. If anything, you may be able to draft a guy by then. But he would also be a good mentor. Maybe Brandon Allen. Maybe you could mentor Brandon Allen. He could be the next guy when he's done. But you see what he wants, because they really like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. They really like Patrick Mahomes. I don't know about enough to pull the trigger yet, but it's worth asking. I'm sure Caldwell's asked by now. Maybe the price is super high. To me, Alex Smith is the best option if you're going to trade for somebody. And then there's a few other guys who people aren't mentioning, and it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Every time we talk about backup quarterbacks. And in backup quarterbacks, like I said, we always mention the McCarrons. We always mention the Garoppolos. And we always mention, even Matt Schaub in Atlanta. You know, we always mention these other things. How come we never mention Brett Hundley in Green Bay? We know Aaron Rodgers is right there. And we know that Brett Hundley is obviously not better than Aaron Rodgers enough to supplant him. So how come we never hear about him? And trust me, we've got some people. We've reached out to some people to see if we can get some comments. Clearly, he's good enough to still be number two. We've seen even some preseason action here and there. Kid's pretty good. He's got a decent arm. Makes good decisions. He plays behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron's probably actually teaching him, unlike what Favre did for him. So, how can we never talk about Brett Hundley? And, you know, if we never do, then maybe the price is going to be low enough. He's more of a pocket guy than he is a scrambler, but he can scramble. And given the way the Jacksonville offensive line typically looks, scrambling is a good thing. Because if you don't scramble, you usually get scrambled. Their line's improving, but in a division that is as wide open as the AFC South, and they can't get the one position that they need, quarterback. Watch everybody else do all these other things. You had to know Blake wasn't getting better. Had to know. And yeah, here we sit. We're about to start the next season. And what do the Jaguars need? A quarterback. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. My opinion, I see that on the text line. Thanks for sending that in. If I was the GM or the shot caller, so to say, what would I do with Blake Bortles? Well, you're not going to be able to trade him. Well, you know what? You could possibly trade him to the Browns, but you're going to have to take Brock Osweiler in his contract. And, you know, let's go ahead and mention that. Brock Osweiler, not a bad option. He hasn't looked bad for a Browns team that's not that bad either. I don't know how much of that game against the Giants you guys saw the other day, but this is a Browns team. That defense was actually keeping Eli and the receiving corps, even Odell Beckham Jr., so frustrated they couldn't move the ball. They scored like 10 points all game, and Eli played at least half. Osweiler didn't look bad. Maybe Osweiler's the guy they move, make a move for. Change of scenery could do him good. He played better at the beach anyway. Like I said, the only thing is you got to eat his contract to do that. I don't know if they have the cap room to do that. But there's a few options. If you guys have other options, definitely hit us up on all the social media outlets. We would love to hear what you guys have to say. Moving on.
Missed it by that much.
Let's talk about this Ian Kinsler thing. This Ian Kinsler, I believe it was Ian Kinsler. Good call, bad call, indifferent call. You know, in baseball, one of the things you're kind of allowed to do is you're able to state your case to the officiators, the officials, the umpires, so to say. So, whether it was whether it's a bad call, good call, that's indifferent. Clearly, the call. So he proceeds to turn around, tell the umpire exactly how he feels. No problem there. Then he starts berating him in such a, I would say, disrespectful manner that it actually caused some officials to kind of strike and start holding out of some games. Or at least they planned to. I don't know if they ever did it. But my point on this is, I don't have a problem with a manager or a player while on the field of play. If you disagree with a call, go over there, get a clarification. If you want to argue, that's fine. You know you can be tossed out. But do it in a respectful manner. That's always been the rule with umpires. They don't have a problem with anything you're going to say, anything you're going to do, as long as you do it respectful. But as soon as they feel disrespected, you're not only going to get tossed out, there's a good chance you're getting suspended too. They don't hand down the suspensions, but if you get kicked out of a game, it pretty much throws the red flag up on the league office to look at exactly what happened. So, like I said, if you're going to argue, if you're going to state your case, whatever, do it in a respectful manner. If you want to kick dirt and make a fool of yourself, go ahead and do that. That's fine. Apparently, that's part of the game. You know, people argue in other sports. That's fine. Just remember, keep it on a respectful level because he's as human as you are. Next time you think you're above the officiating crew, you're not. You guys are all equal. Remember, that's what all these protests and all these other people are trying to get. We're trying to be equal across the board. Well, let's be that way in sports. Let's be that way in sports. I don't have a problem with him arguing. I have a problem with the way he did it. Same thing I initially said about people like Kaepernick and others. Didn't have a problem. He was raising awareness for a cause. My problem was how he did it. The message is fine. The method is what needed work. And like I said, I know it's baseball, but I'm tired of baseball coming up with all these. Every time something happens, it's either an unwritten rule or it was, in this scenario, he did the right thing. It's no, you can't just blame an unwritten rule because if they're not written down, then they're not really rules. You can't just come up with your own thing and, well, this guy deserved this. And that. No. It's not eye for an eye. This is not the code of Hammurabi or whatever, where if that guy pokes you in the eye, you have the right to poke him back in the eye. No, that's not how it works. Those kinds of societies usually end up eating themselves, and not in a barbaric, cannibalistic way. They end up imploding because it's all about, well, he hit me and he hit me. Do you not remember being in the backseat of the car with your siblings, or if you didn't have siblings, cousins, or anybody? You made it to where your mom or dad had to constantly turn around and threaten to stop the car if you didn't leave your brother alone, or stop touching her, or stop doing this, stop doing that, give him the toy back. That's all this is happening here. It's not a, well, he threw at our guy, so we throw at his guy. It's not how it works. Even in hockey. If a big hit's put on a big star, sure, there's a guy that will go and take up for him. But taking up for somebody is not the same as throwing a 90-mile-an-hour projectile at someone's head. Which, based off all that, that attributes right straight into what happened today between the Yankees and Tigers, where apparently, as they started pinging each other during at-bats and people getting ejected, Austin Romine and Miguel Cabrera, of all people, Miggy, decided to have WrestleMania on right at home plate. Once again, I'm the passion, but let's not act like we're four. Like, hey, they pushed me down the slide, so I'm gonna go try to knock him off of it. What good does that do? What good does that do? I feel like I've said for years, and I still stand behind it. I just don't see a reason why fighting in general at all belongs in sports. In hockey. Hockey's actually dialed it back. I'll give them credit for that. It doesn't need to be in baseball. It certainly doesn't need to be in basketball. The last time a big-time fight happened, do you not remember the Malice in the Palace? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go Google it. Trust me. Yeah, viewer discretion on that. We can't let things get so out of hand that we allow open fighting and all this other stuff. You want to fight? Go join the UFC. Go call Floyd Mayweather. Be his 51st fight. It's just we don't have time for that. And Ian Kinsler, you know better. You could have handled yourself a little better than that. I know you're frustrated, and it happens. But just remember, you're a star in the world of sports. If I have a problem with an upper management guy on my side of things, I can't turn around and yell at him like he's 2 foot tall. So enjoy the fact that you can actually do that and get away with it. I do that. I'm on the unemployment line. One of the listeners of my show, same way. They're going to get fired. You turn around and tell your boss how you really thought about something? Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to happen. But before we are joined by Joseph Sparty, our resident fantasy warfare expert right here at Impact Media, I want to talk a little bit about this fight, because I'm going to ask him about it as well. The Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight, I believe it's supposed to start around 7 or 8 on Saturday. They will actually probably not start till after 11, because that's typically what Floyd does. They hold out to the very end to see all the late people buy the pay-per-view. They figure the longer they hold out, the more people actually buy it. Somehow that actually works. A lot of people say Floyd Mayweather. You've got the grizzled veteran, basically. He also hasn't fought in 2 years. Never been much of a knockout guy, but he wins 90% of his stuff at decisions. Has really good stamina. Knows how to duck and dive and take his shots when he needs to against the kind of young upstart. And by upstart, he's never had an official boxing match. He's UFC star Conor McGregor. He's got to completely conform. He's so used to being able to kick people and put them in arm bars that he can't be able to do this here. He can only use his hands and his brain. On paper, you would think, even though they're using 8-ounce gloves, 6-ounce gloves, whatever it is, that Floyd should have the advantage. But, Conor's unorthodox. So you have tradition versus expansion, so to say. Because I feel like Conor McGregor, this is not going to be his only boxing match. He's going to realize that he makes 1,000 times more money. 1,000 times more money. Boxing. Because here's the difference. In boxing, you're your own promoter. So you don't have to technically pay a promoter. I mean, there's a promoter. Don King was really great. There's been a lot of other ones that are really great, too. But in the UFC, Dana White controls everything. So Dana White being the super above all promoter, and he's fantastic at it. You know, a company doesn't sell for $4 billion if they're bad at, if they have a bad promoter. But at the end of the day, majority of the money goes to the UFC and Dana White. At the end of the day, in boxing, most of the money goes to the fighter, with the promoter getting the rest of it usually. That's usually how it works. Kind of like an agent thing. You know, an NFL star signs a contract. You know, let's say 85-90% of it goes to him. The rest goes to his agent because his agent brokers the deal. Got all the hype. Whatever needed to happen. So I see Conor McGregor sticking in boxing no matter what happens here. As far as my overall prediction, I think I'm going to save that till Joseph is on. And that should be in a couple minutes. He's also really good. We'll talk a lot of stuff about stuff Joseph does. He's played in some World Poker Tour events, some official World Poker Tour events. He's very good with odds and such like that. So we'll get into some of that here shortly. But, yeah, this is the super mega fight. This is Ali versus, you know, what he faced, Aki Bono, I think. It's an exhibition thing. You take two guys from two different sports worlds and – they converge to box, basically. Although some of the Ali things were a little more open. Who knows what's going to happen? Really don't know. It could go 12 rounds and Floyd get the victory. It could go half a round with Conor and a lucky punch. All kinds of things can happen.
These guys are warriors.
That they definitely are. But Joseph should be calling in here shortly. Should be a lot of fun. I've known him for a long time. Yeah, a very long time. We'll get into that here in a minute. It's going to be fun to talk, to actually have him on the show and also talk about fantasy football. Like I said, we all have drafts coming up here in the next couple of weeks. The season's just going to start in 3 weeks, something like that. Did we get the math right on that? Let's bring up something here. Opening night is September, 2 weeks from tonight, which will actually be our first, show where we start going weekly from there on out. Definitely tune in for that. Once again, remember to go to iTunes and give us a review. We definitely appreciate all those, and once we start to get a few more of those, maybe we start giving out some swag for all that. It'd be a lot of fun. Let's see. I feel like there was something else I was going to hit on. Manny Ginobili is going to return to the Spurs on a 2-year deal. Oh, yeah, there's something. Had my dad actually this earlier today. Apparently at lunch, he was at an establishment that had a TV, and they were showing that they were burning Isaiah Thomas jerseys. So he called and he said, first of all, I didn't know he was still playing in the league, and I had to tell him this is a different Isaiah Thomas. He hadn't really followed basketball. Understood. and he says, well, why would they burn his jersey? And I was like, well, it's something that some football fans and some NBA fans, and not everybody, but a small minority, when one of your favorite players off your favorite team gets traded and you feel slighted, because, you know, that's the whole reason they would stay is to not slight people they've never met. But when you feel slighted, you decide to burn the jersey. Now, for what these jerseys cost, you should eBay them. Craigslist or something, you know, give them to the Goodwill if you're going to do that. But you want to know why you would burn a jersey. And I was like, that's really the question I always have. I've never understood why you would actually burn a jersey. I've even talked to people that's done it, and they're like, well, it's because LeBron left us for Miami or left us for Cleveland or I don't know, because Herschel Walker left us. No, he didn't. He got traded. Or he signed a free agent deal. Who you should be mad at is the owner or the GM that did the deal. If you're going to be mad at somebody, you can't burn a program or your favorite tie or something, I guess. But I don't understand why people would want to burn a jersey when even donate it to your local Boys and Girls Club or something. Those kids will wear them. Those kids would love to have something like that. And instead, you're burning something. And I'm sure you bought it, so if you want to burn something you bought, that's up to you. But you won't ever see me doing that. It's just, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Just be glad that they're moving on. And like I said, you got a fault management with a deal like that. I don't care if you got a fault management. They're the one that pulled off that deal. It's not the coach's fault. It's not even if they requested it. Kyrie Irving wanted to get traded. And I don't see people burning Kyrie jerseys. They're burning more Thomas jerseys. Thomas didn't do anything to you. He was part of the trade. He got a phone call earlier yesterday. They said, hey, get your stuff. You're going to Cleveland. Okay. Didn't get a choice in the matter because the team owns the rights to his contract. Not his fault. And yet, you know, people are holding it against him. He didn't do it. He didn't even say, hey, I'd want to be traded. All he said, actually, he didn't say anything. He's on his way to Cleveland. He's going to get to play with LeBron James. Maybe he'll be the focal point that they build around. Or, as is usually the case, the owner of the Cavaliers will screw this up somehow, and he'll end up out of town in a couple years. But it just, I don't know, just makes no sense to me. Fan is short for fanatic, so some weird things do happen. But just like I said with Ian Kinsler, there's a more respectful way to get your point across than burning jerseys or chewing out your boss. That's only going to get you so far. But let's see if there's other news and notes. I think he's going to call in a few short seconds. I know there was something. For anybody that wants to know, yeah, I think the Jets are tanking. Why wouldn't they? Yeah, that's a good point, but we'll get on that when Cody's here. Man, there just wasn't a lot going on in the sports world today, was there? Just not a lot. I do like, you know, sometimes I promote other podcasts. If you're not listening to Adam Schefter's podcast, you definitely should. He talks some very interesting. He recently talked to former Washington GM Scott McLuhan. You know, he had some issues and he was let go over there. McLuhan, just in listening to this, you can tell how smart this guy is. This guy is incredibly smart. And just to hear the things he says, you know, Adam Schefter asked him things like, what young quarterback would you start a franchise with? Ask him a lot of other things. But definitely go check out Adam Schefter's podcast. Schefter definitely knows what he's talking about. But I do see that our guest is on the line. So without further ado, he is a veteran of the World Poker Tour circuit. He is a fantasy football guru and a longtime friend of mine, Joe Disparty. How you doing?
Hey, Yorkie. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, very nice to talk with you. Sorry about the delay. I got held up a little bit, but I'm ready to talk some fantasy football, and that was a great introduction you gave me there. But I think it's going to be fun. So what you got for me today?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And that's why I had actually mentioned earlier in the show, too, because somebody wrote in and asked if you were the same one. I guess maybe they played in a tournament with you or something like that, because they saw the picture I posted and they're like, hey, I think I sat next to that guy. So I'll try to track down that name. So maybe you might recognize him. But, you know, fantasy is upon us. As I told people, a lot of people are going to be drafting in the next week or so. I believe the league we're both in is about a week and a half away. But,
yes.
You know, I guess we'll start with just kind of, you know, because Michael Rappaport calls himself a senior football fantasy guru or analyst or something. So, I mean, technically we can invent whatever titles we want. So, me saying that you're the fantasy expert is just me saying it. But, you know, what kind of credentials do you have as far as playing fantasy to where people should listen to your advice?
Right. Well, he's the creative one, and if you follow him on Twitter, you know that. But I don't really have the name like that pegged down. But I can say this: I've been playing fantasy sports since 1999, going on 18 years. I study the players every year, and I've gotten more and more into it every year, you know. And the last few years with daily fantasy sports breaking out, you know, I got in. Dabbled in that a bit, won a little bit in that, but you know, yearly is my favorite, so I'm definitely a veteran in the game. I wouldn't say guru, elite, or whatever you said he was, but I'm in there.
Yeah, I think he just come up with it. He was hosting the Rich Eisen show, and he said, you know what, this guy's calling, that guy's calling in, I'm now a senior analyst. And I was like, hey, you know what, I'm not going to argue with him.
Love it. Yeah,
but,
man,
you know,
so drafting's upon us, so, you know, let's talk some strategy, you know?
You know, let's talk strategy, and I'm going to try to curb this away from my draft position in our league, because I've already made it well known that I finished dead last year, so I get number one pick. But just a simple one off the top that I keep getting asked, and so far I can't convince myself otherwise, David Johnson is the no-brainer number one, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're number one, you probably want to go David Johnson. I wouldn't bash you too hard for taking Le'Veon Bell, but those are probably who you're looking at number one. If you take anyone else, it might be a reach at that point. David Johnson is just, you know, when he won the job, you know, in the last year, he's just been so consistent, and I think he's a no-brainer, but you know, in the first two rounds, if you could get at least one running back, I definitely would suggest it. When you look at the depth of running backs versus the depth of wide receivers available, I really think it's wide receivers you're going to be able to find later in the draft. You're going to be able to find some gems. So I would definitely suggest you get a running back in those first two rounds, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about that. And, you know, obviously, like I said, draft position does matter, too, because obviously we do a snake draft. So if I'm first in this round, I'm last in the next one, and so forth. But, you know, as like you said, as far as the first handful of rounds, running backs, I would agree, definitely is to go after. But what round would you say you should start looking for a quarterback?
Great question, and I'll just back up a little bit and say that, you know, when you have a PPR, you know, that kind of changes your strategy, so you may want to actually, I wouldn't hate you if you took running back, or I'm sorry, I wouldn't hate you if you took wide receiver in a PPR, but
correct.
If we're just talking about standard league, you definitely want to grab a running back. Now, when it comes to the quarterbacks, you definitely don't want to start considering a quarterback until the third round this year, and that would be the very earliest. You know, you got a lot of people think Rodgers is the first quarterback going off that should go off the board this year.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. I think Brady's up there. Just look at the weapons he has at his disposal. They've actually gotten better from last year, if you can believe it, with a couple big signings. So him, you know, Breeze has always been very consistently in the top five of quarterbacks over his career. So you know, maybe if you can get one of those three guys I just named in the third round and you're looking to go early, do it. Other than that, that's another one where I would definitely suggest that you wait. If you're looking at the difference between the points scored, there's not going to be that much of a drop-off after you hit those three guys. I mean, maybe you want to put Cam Newton in there because he was the number one fantasy scorer 2 years ago. But the way he kind of fell off last year, and he's not projected to be as high this year, so I wouldn't really lump him in that early section. So definitely, if you can get one of those studs in the third round, maybe go for it. If you can't, you can get a quarterback as late as the eighth or ninth round that's going to be comparable to what you could get in the fourth round. So that's definitely my advice on that.
And also to people, I want to throw this disclaimer out. The reason why, at least last year, the reason why I finished dead last in my own league, which is the league I'm talking about, it's because I waited way too late to try to get a quarterback, and I got stuck with, like, the Blake Bortles of the world. So, you know, somewhere in that 4-8 range, I would definitely agree with you that you want to get one early enough, but not too early.
Right, right, right.
And then, you know, obviously everybody wants to know who the sleepers are or when to start looking for sleepers. To me, a sleeper is classified as somebody who is still sitting on the board way after they should have been taken. So technically, you could say if David Johnson makes it past the top three or four in your draft, he's kind of a sleeper from there on out. So how do you define a sleeper, and then what kind of things should people look for?
Yeah. Well, sleepers are going to be your late-round guys. You've already filled out your draft. You've already filled all the starting positions and maybe even a couple backup positions, and now you're just down to the last few bench slots. For me, these sleepers, the key word is you're looking for league winners here, Jeremy. You're looking for someone in this range that if they got the opportunity, they could be a top five type of player. That's a real sleeper. And I'm going to name a couple names for you. Looking at Derrick Henry. He's a guy that, yeah, as the projections sit now, he is going to get some carries. It's not really a split situation. You got DeMarco Murray as the clear starter. What
right.
about his injury past? What if DeMarco Murray were to go down? And then what's going to happen? Derrick Henry's going to be that bell cow. So that's a sleeper for me that, you know, some people might be looking at him, but if you could get him super late and just kind of stash him for when DeMarco maybe goes down, you know, he could be a top running back in the league, and that could be a league winner for you. I'm going to name someone else. If you've heard of Jonathan Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So last year we had Gillislee was the backup in Buffalo to Shady McCoy. We know how fragile Shady McCoy's been in his past, and Gillislee had a few solid starts, and we now know he's with the Patriots. He's going to be their probable starter. So who's taking that backup role in Buffalo? That's Jonathan Williams. I think he's definitely a late round. He's a guy that in my draft I've taken a lot of. And I just love Jonathan Williams in the late rounds. If nothing else, he's going to fill in probably a few weeks for Shady McCoy. He's going to be injured at some point. He is every season just about. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, this Jonathan Williams could come in and be, there's the word again, he could be a league winner for you. So those are my two big sleepers to be looking at that a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people have heard of Derrick Henry. Not a lot of people have heard of Jonathan Williams yet. So you might want to look at him late in your draft.
All right, and then a couple more fantasy questions, then I'm going to ask you about the fight because I was just talking about the fight right before you came on. But as
yeah.
we're talking with fantasy guru Joseph Sparty right here on Sports Club, what about tight ends? I mean, is it really Gronk and then everybody else, or is it just really, you know, if you can get a top six guy, then the rest are a dime a dozen? How do you draft a tight end in just a normal fantasy league?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in the club that I got burned by Gronk, and I'm not taking him. You can't make me touch it. I mean, from what I've heard from camp, I've heard that he's going to be healthy this season. They're acting like he's going to be just fine, but I've seen too many times what can happen with the back, and, you know, when you get a back injury, those are injuries that don't tend to go away as you get older. They tend to get worse the more NFL hits you take. So, yeah, he's a big guy, but if he takes a couple more hits, I mean, I'm a little scared of Gronk. So I'm going to let someone else take him since you mentioned Gronk. But, you know, the other tight ends, you know, I if you can get a top-tier one, that's great. But if I were you, I would wait. A name I'm looking at in later rounds, Hunter Henry. Look at this. I mean, this guy had a solid outing not being the starter for most of the last year. And if you can get a guy like that, we're talking like 9th or 10th round. And if you could do that, you could fill out all your other positions and get a guy like that. What about Rudolph in Minnesota? Nobody's thinking about this guy. You could get him in the 10th to 12th round, and he's going to put up similar numbers to the top five tight ends you're going to be taking early. So, honestly, to me, I'm going to pass on Gronk. I'm going to wait till the later rounds and take a tight end this year, and that's what I would suggest to everyone else.
I would definitely agree with that. And then last big question, and it's one we had kind of talked about before today anyway. I talked about earlier, Zeke Elliott currently is suspended for 6 games. It could be reduced to 2 or 3. We don't know. At some point, he's still going to miss games. So how do you go about trying to figure out where you would draft Zeke Elliott in a draft this year?
Yeah, everyone wants to know what I think about Zeke Elliott. And the truth is, I had a league that drafted in early July. You know, I'm itching for fantasy. I couldn't wait. I had to get in there and draft one. And, you know, get some practice in. So it's right when about the time the suspension was looming, but nothing had happened yet. And I was picking 3rd overall. I passed on him because of the news. He was pretty much everyone else's 3rd overall. I passed on the guy. I went ahead and went with Antonio Brown, and I'm loving my decision now, Jeremy. But let me tell you, Zeke, you know, where he's going right now, the ADP, average draft position, he's going at the end of the 2nd, early 3rd round in some cases now. Okay. This was a top 5 pick, you know, we're talking a month ago. So, you know, for me, I love where he's going. If I can get him in the 3rd round, are you kidding me? But, I mean, say you pick say you had that 1st overall pick and then you got the corner pick at the end of the 2nd and then into the 3rd. If he's still sitting there, you're definitely going to grab Zeke Elliott because the weeks that he does play, he's going to be rock solid. He's going to be a league win. He's going to be a first-round draft pick in the 2nd or 3rd. So at the end of the day, you got to look at, yeah, he might miss a few games. The other thing to look at, if you're looking at the case that's now going to be you know, possibly even in court, Jerry Jones was talking about. But now that they're fighting it and everything, this case they got the same arbitrator as Randy Gregory had. I'm finding out. So you know, he got his initial. Now I'm not talking about his latest suspension where he was suspended a year. But his initial suspension, when he was suspended for 10 games, this arbitrator had that 10 reduced to 4 for the same type of offense. So if I'm a gambling man, and I think you know me, and I think I am, I'm thinking it's going to be 4 or less games. And I'm pretty confident in that. If it was 2 to 4, actually – I'm almost positive it's going to be 2 to 4. It's not going to be 6 games. I'll go ahead and say it on record. This arbitrator is going to get it reduced for him. And when he does, and if you only miss 2 games, you just stall him. If you miss 4 games, well, maybe you can hold over till then. And by the time he comes in, he's going to be winning games for you. So I love him in the 2nd round.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's actually kind of my line of thinking too. That makes a lot of sense, especially like you said, if you're able to grab such a good one, a Le'Veon Bell or something, or a David Johnson early, if he's sitting there in those second and third rounds, I mean, he's worth stashing because those guys are going to carry the load until then.
Yeah, assuming he can stay out of trouble, which is yet to be seen. But
right.
We'll have to see if he gets a little bit of maturity under his belt.
Exactly. And then, of course, we get to ask the fun question, even though all the fantasy football stuff is fun. Thoughts on the Mayweather-McGregor fight? And then ultimately, I haven't given my pick either. I just kind of reviewed both sides, so I'll give that at the end too. Overall thoughts of the fight, and how do you see it going?
Wow. Well, of course, you got the guy who's never boxed around in his life, and then you got the best boxer of all time, Jeremy, of all time. 49-0, going for that milestone 50. How could you possibly pick Conor McGregor to win this fight against the proven, tried, tested, meticulous Floyd Money Mayweather? He's the best fighter we've seen, and I would have put it between him and Pacquiao. When he beat Pacquiao, he's the best fighter of our time. And the no losses on his record, yeah, he is 40 years old. I haven't seen him slow down yet, and I know he's training harder than ever for this fight. Now, if this is a UFC fight in the octagon, Conor McGregor's going to choke him out in about 20 seconds. And don't get it twisted. I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. I'm a huge UFC fan, if you know me. And I've seen Conor McGregor knock people out within 30 seconds. The man punches extremely hard. It's going to go to his advantage that they're going to be wearing the smaller weight gloves that the courts approve, the 8-ounce gloves. So, you know, he's got a puncher's chance. He might even hit harder than Mayweather at the end of the day. But there's no way he can get a 20-year boxing career train skills in and with just a small camp of training. Mayweather's going to outbox him. He's going to outpoint him. He's going to outhit him. He's not going to be hit, and he's going to hit. I don't think he's going to knock him out, but the whole point of boxing is to hit without getting hit back. He's going to land more punches. He's going to win the decision in 12 rounds. I got Floyd Money Mayweather going 50-0 Saturday night. Book it now. If you can find it, paying 4-1 or 1-4. If you can find it at 1-4, that's a good investment. So -400 to -450. Watch the line before the fight. If it gets bet up, if a lot of people's putting money on McGregor leading up to the fight and his odds drop, then that's a great bet. He's never been less than a -700 favorite. Except when he fought Pacquiao, and he's won all those. So him being less than that is a great value.
Wow. Yeah. It didn't even factor into my decision as to the odds and everything. But yeah, 1-4, given that he's that heavy of a favorite, if you can get a -400 or a 1-4 ratio, that's for everybody who doesn't know much about betting. That's for every one or for every $4 you put up, you win one. It sounds like a dumb thing, but you can actually pay off pretty well with it. It's actually pretty good odds. But I don't know. I feel like as much as this could just easily be a circus performance, basically, where it's just going to go the 12 rounds and you know, he can get his 50-0 and then Conor can start realizing he makes way more money boxing because Dana White doesn't take all of his money, then, you know, that could definitely help both of us. I like Conor McGregor is getting so ticked off that he's either going to do something to get this one, which I don't give him credit for being dumb because he's a very smart, educated Irish guy. He really knows what he's doing.
Oh,
he really knows how to push his brand and everything. I just feel like Conor's going to get so mad that maybe fourth, fifth round, he realizes I don't have the stamina to go anymore and just wildly swings. And if he connects at least once, I think it's over. So I'm going with the upset just because I like seeing the underdog win sometimes. And if I was laying money on it, I would take the McGregor odds, and I would still put money on Floyd's side too.
There we go. Hey, you know, like I said, puncher's chance.
Right.
And it's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be a spectacle. I mean, we're gonna know real quick how it's gonna go. Early into the first round, I think we're gonna be able to tell how it's gonna go. So. going to be a great
absolutely
fight.
And obviously, if you want to follow Joseph, it's at Joseph Sparty, all capital, on Twitter. He's also on Facebook as well. You'll be able to find him through all our social media stuff. Good finally having you on, bud. And later throughout the season, we're going to try to have you back on to talk all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, let's do it again after we draft there in the end zone league. And maybe we can analyze everybody's picks and see how we did.
Maybe so. Get some draft grades out and see if any of us seem like we know what we're doing.
All right.
But we'll see y'all later down the road, and have a great rest of your evening.
All right. Thank you.
Of course, that was our fantasy draft expert from Impact Media, Joseph Sparty. Like I said, longtime friend of mine, super awesome dude. Good to finally have him on, and we're going to have him later on for all kinds of different stuff this year, like I said. He is a very smart guy, knows a lot about betting lines, and like I said, veteran of the World Poker Tour. He's played a small handful of events. Maybe we'll talk poker sometime. But it's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Sports Club. Next Sports Club will be in 2 weeks. For everybody that is a fan of our show, Panther Zone, it will start back up next Wednesday at 7. Obviously, we won't be doing a show next Thursday because that is the opening game for the Georgia State Panthers. If you hadn't got a chance to come out and check out the Georgia State University Stadium, definitely go do that. I think tickets are between $20 and $30. It's worth $30 just to see this stadium. I did some live stuff. I did some other photos, some fantastic stuff. Come check out. They are playing Tennessee State, I believe. And it's going to be a good game. Come out, say hi. Same thing always goes. If you see me at any of these events, I'm very hard to miss. Trust me. See me at any of these events, stop me. I will take a photo with you. We'll do. It doesn't matter. It could be make sure it's a selfie. I want to know who you are. Would love to meet and talk with you guys. And if you take a selfie, you post it up, you tag us all in it and everything like that. Maybe we send some swag your way. But for Cody, for Coach, and for Reggie, and of course for our guest tonight, Joseph Sparty, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. Have a good one.
See it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need to burn. I'm a pro, make you bend your back load in the pound of real fat to light the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble,
yeah.
I'ma gobble it.
Yeah.
I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it.
Yeah.
We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girls say, man, like this, cover right.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam!